Invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. There's language there, just what we just did in the collection. There's language that we quote very often from that passage. 1 Corinthians 16, one of the phrases is lay by in store. Maybe you've heard that phrase. One of the things I would point out about this passage, I want to talk about giving this morning. But as you read 1 Corinthians 16, one of the things I would point out is the very first couple of words there, now concerning. If you read the whole book of 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 7, verse 1, you find that phrase, now concerning. Paul says, the matters about which you wrote. And that phrase keeps showing up through the rest of the book. And so he'll say in chapter 7, verse 25, now concerning those who are engaged, betrothed. They had some questions. Paul, in the last half of 1 Corinthians, Paul is answering questions they have written to him about. And so notice chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning food offered to idols, he's going to have a big discussion about should Christians eat food that have been sold now that previously had been offered to idols. Or spiritual gifts, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, apparently they've written to Paul about spiritual gifts. Chapter 16, verse 1. And concerning the collection for the saints. And then he's going to say, now concerning a visit you're going to have. There's a man named Apollos that's going to show up in Corinth. Now concerning Apollos and his visit. And you might notice that you find a similar phrase in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, and in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And very clearly, if you read those verses, he talks about things they have written to him about. You've written to me, and now concerning those things you wrote, here's what I'm responding to. And so notice, first of all, chapter 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection not of the saints, in other words, the saints, the holy ones of God are collecting among themselves, but for the saints. And specifically, I want to suggest to you that they are collecting for the poor of Jerusalem. These are Gentile Christians in Corinth. Most, if you go back and read the book of Acts in the beginning of the church at Corinth, they are mostly Gentiles who respond to the gospel. And now this mostly Gentile church is being instructed to share with their brothers and sisters who are poor in Jerusalem. Now, it says, as I directed the churches of Galatia, there are congregations in Galatia, what today is south central Turkey. As I said to those churches, so also I say to you in Corinth, Greece, that on the first day of the week, since you're gathering anyway, I want you to be collecting funds so that when I show up, I'm going to come to Corinth, and when I show up, I don't want to have to go around to each person to collect those things that you will provide for the poor of Jerusalem. And notice, he says, here's where this gift is headed. There is a target for these funds that are being collected. And that is that you can send a letter, and if you want me to go with this gift, we want everything to be very clearly on the up and up in the handling of money. And so if you want me to go with the sending of this fund, I will be glad to do that as we take this gift to Jerusalem. Chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians is a follow-up to this. And apparently what has happened in between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is, he says, you had committed to help the poor of Jerusalem, and that's good, but you haven't followed through with it. And so he says in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 8, he says, He cites the generosity of his brethren to the north of them in Achaia, where that's where Corinth is at, the region of Achaia in the south part of Greece. He says the people, the Christians in the north part of Greece in Macedonia, they committed just like you did, but they've already given the money. And so he says, I want you to finish what you committed to doing. I want to challenge you to finish what. Now, there again, there's some familiar language that comes from 2 Corinthians 8. Notice verses 12 through 14. For if the readiness is there, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. He says, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. I don't want there to be an inequality like that, but as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, their being the poor of Jerusalem, so that their abundance may supply your need and so that there may be fairness. Now, notice what he does in verse 15. As it is written, he cites scripture as a basis for the Christians, the Gentile Christians in Corinth, supplying the needs of the Christian Jews in Jerusalem. And he quotes scripture. And I don't know if you recognize where this scripture comes from. But in verse 15 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, he is quoting from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 18. And if you remember Exodus, you remember the 10 plagues. You remember in chapter 14, God saves these former slaves from the pursuing posse of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. He preserves their lives, and they cross over on dry land, and there's disaster for the posse. And then they sing in chapter 15 of Exodus. They sing a song of salvation. God has saved us. We are thankful. What do you do when you've been saved from disaster? You praise God. You sing. And they sing. But then in chapter 16 of Exodus, these people are being taught to trust God. And God gives them daily bread from heaven. Notice this. Chapter 16, verse 18 is what's being quoted in 2 Corinthians 8. It's talking about manna, about daily bread that is sourced from heaven. It just kind of falls from heaven. They didn't do anything to earn it. God gives them their daily bread. I want to suggest to you that when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray for daily bread, it's looking back to this very thing, the book of Exodus. This quote from Exodus is about trust that God who gives bread for today will supply bread for tomorrow. Now go back to 2 Corinthians. Notice that. Whoever gathered much, that's in the context of manna. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over. And whoever gathered little had no lack. Everybody had what they needed. That's a sort of poetic way of saying everybody has what they need. Why? Because God is providing the bread from heaven. And so it's about trust that God, who gives you what you've got right now, will give you what you need tomorrow. What is it that's holding the Corinthian church back from following through with their commitment? They're afraid if they give, they won't have what they need tomorrow. And so Paul cites Exodus 16 and talks about manna. And he says, just as God provided what Israel needed day by day, so he will provide for you what you need each day. Now, as a church, what ought we to do with manna that comes our way? Most of you are familiar with this, you know about this, but when both of the congregations that merged sold some property, we retained the mineral rights. And what do you know? have been payments, royalty payments from those mineral rights. Now, I would characterize that as manna. It's just fallen into our laps. But we shouldn't just sit on it. What our congregation for a long time has had the philosophy that we should operate our congregation itself off of the contributions that the congregation gives. And we do that. And you are very generous in your weekly contributions. But what do we do when God entrusts us with manna that's beyond our local contributions in this congregation? What should we do with that? And I commend this, that the philosophy of our leaders has been that we should not spend this on ourselves. We should not operate our congregation on manna. We should do something bigger than our congregation when God places trust funds in our hands. This is really God's money. It's not ours. What are some things beyond our congregation that we can do with these funds? Well, one is we can support Christ's mission to all nations. We can support mission work. And one of the things that these funds have done, have given us an opportunity to do, is to help provide resources for evangelism, for sharing the good news of Jesus. There are some that we are helping on a monthly basis. I'll talk a little bit more about specifics about that in a moment. But we, on a monthly basis, this has given us the confidence that we can take on. So if you look, we don't have a bulletin today, but next time you look at the bulletin, on the back of that bulletin, there's always this list of people we help support. One reason we are able to do that, now part of it comes from our local contributions, but part of it is also coming from this manna that's come from heaven. And then also, last year we did this early part of chapter of year 2023, we gave one-time contributions, both for benevolence, like Homes for Children, as well as evangelistic efforts. And I don't know if you remember this, but last year in January and February, we were able to contribute $750,000 for evangelism and benevolence. And that was wonderful, wasn't it? And one reason we did that is some wells had come in, and my understanding is wells, when they're new, gush. They have a lot of production, but it tapers off. We haven't received that much money in the time since then, but we have received enough that it has allowed us to do one-time contributions just in the last couple of weeks to Eastern European Mission, $100,000, and also to Sunset International Bible Institute, $50,000, and to the Togo and Ghana Mission, $50,000. This is a list of those that we are helping support. I'll say more about that in a moment. But so, well, I don't know where the March 5th comes from, but we gave $100,000 to Eastern European Mission. We're giving $50,000 to Sunset International Bible Institute. We're giving $50,000. You remember Ryan Simpson? It's come and spoken to us about this mission. So we're giving $50,000 more to that. Last year, we were able to give them $200,000. What they're doing is they're building church buildings in outlying areas and helping with schools and some things like that. And so we were able to help in that regard. Some of you that are here this morning went last year. I kind of put together several pictures here. That's why I'm in it twice, if you notice. But we had three different groups go to three different homes for children and present them checks last year for, I want to say it's $50,000 each of those. And what we did was we loaded people up on the van. We took that group to that children's home, and we did a tour of the home. And at the end of that, we presented them with a $50,000 check. And we don't have as much money as we had available to us, as much manna But we still got manna. And so our plan is to, in January, on a couple of weekends, to go to Foster's Home for Children in Stephenville and do something similar, and then and give them a $24,000 check, and then Cherokee Home for Children, give them a $24,000 check. So be thinking about whether you might want to be the group, part of the group that goes to those places. Some of you that are here this morning went to those places, and I think it was very encouraging to see what's being done. And then it was a great joy to be able to share manna with these folks. And so I think that's good. Another one-time contribution that we're making is 15. Some of you were here on a Wednesday night when Billy Kumar from Kakinada, India, came and spoke to us. And he talked about the congregation is growing in Kakinada, so that they're needing to expand their church building. And they use that building, that property, very well. And so we're going to donate $15,000 toward that. But there may be others of you, as I've already had an individual or two express an interest in adding to that amount. So if, that's why I put the plus. You see, there's a plus right there. If you want to add to that amount to help with their building expansion in Kakinada, then you can contribute extra to that. And we will include that with the $15,000 that we've committed. A couple of one-time contributions that we want to make this year. Many of you know that Lucy Zarate's sister, Marcy's house burned down with no insurance. And so one of the things we want to do is, as a congregation, is to contribute $20,000 toward her restoring her housing. And then this is where we could use some input. What are good things being done in our community for homeless people? And if you have some suggestions of what we might consider, we want to give $12,000 toward some sort of help for people who are homeless in Midland. So if you total all of that up, we will be contributing in the next few, in this next month, $319,000 for both benevolence and evangelism. Now stop for a minute. I don't know about you, but I find great pleasure and joy in that fact. That God has entrusted, if you stop and think about it, how does God fund things he wants done? I think he entrusts funds to people who he thinks will do right with those funds. And God has given, you might think of this like what you, in the same way you think about what are called trust funds. God has entrusted us with these funds. What good things can we do? So I encourage you to pray. We've been praying, our leaders have been praying about what we do. This is the result of that time of contemplation and prayer. We want to include you to so that you know, and you too can rejoice in how God has given us the privilege of helping others. And I want to say, if you look at when we have a bulletin, I know holidays, we don't have a bulletin right now, but next time you look at that, there's actually going to be one name added to that, because we're going to start supporting another couple as well in January. But these are folks that we help support right now. And I want to just remind you of who all these folks are. It's one thing to read that list. It's another thing to see the faces and think about who they are and what they're doing. We're helping to support, for instance, right now, two students in Adventures in Missions in Lubbock at Sunset. And one is Fernando Martinez, who is from Mexico. And she has been studying with the AIM program since August. They have recently formed the team that she will be on, and she will be going with four others to Cookeville, Tennessee. And again, we're helping support her. We probably will need to increase her support some because she will need more funds once she goes into the field. If you're not familiar with the Adventures and Missions program, what that is that these are younger people who they receive about 8 months of training in Lubbock, and then they are formed into teams, and then they go and work as apprentices under experienced missionaries. And so she will be working in Middle Tennessee. It's Upper Middle Tennessee. It's where Cookeville is. I think it's east of Nashville. But there you see four others as part of that team. And then Daniel Rowland, who's the grandson of Les and Barbara Rowland, we've been supporting him in that same group. He is part of four young people who will be going to work under a missionary in Berat, Albania. Daniel, I think, by the way, will be here this evening when we have our end of the year assembly. We help support Jordan and Brandy and their daughter, the Bakers. We help support them in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. It's right not very far from Massachusetts. In fact, some of the work he does in Massachusetts, some in Rhode Island. We help support them. We help support Cameron and Brooke Wood in Bangkok, Thailand. We help support Stephen and Jackie Cabot, who work among Muslim Middle East refugees in Raleigh, North Carolina. And some of you heard him speak last year when he came and visited with us about what he's doing there. We help support Paul Dowell, who is the dean and an instructor at Sunset International Bible Institute. We help support Pope Good in Tartu, Estonia. We help support Paul and Claire Behrens, who are in Querétaro, Mexico. These are three AIMS students who are presently on the field in Mexico City. And we help support them, Karis and Esther and Jared. And then Milo and Ruth, who did an internship with us last year, and they are now doing a very effective work in Mexico City. They, by the way, will be going to a workshop at Sunset at the end of January, and the plan is for them to be here with us on the first Sunday in February. So I look forward to seeing them. Gerardo and Carola Garcia are really the mentors for Milo and Ruth, and they were needing additional support. And so we are picking up some of their support starting in January. We also, some of you may remember that we also helped 1500 a month with what's called the Hope Foundation, that was started by Gerardo and Carola because their daughter had type 1 diabetes, and they realized there was a real need for people to train parents and children how to live with diabetes. And so this goes toward that training as well as providing supplies for people that have young people that have diabetes in Mexico. So again, all of that to say that this adds up to almost $14,000. In fact, if you include the $1,500 a month for the Diabetes Foundation, it puts us over $15,000 a month that we are supporting benevolence and missions and evangelism. Now, stop for a minute. Think about that. God has entrusted funds to us. And every time I think about that, it makes me smile. God has given us the privilege of being a part of what he's doing in this world. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And I think we all can be thankful for that. I want to ask you, as we draw to a close, to read with me from 2 Corinthians 9. Let's read together. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. He who supplies to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. We can be thankful, can't we? Thankful that God has allowed us to be a part of what he is doing.